of the most distinctive elements of the Roman Catholic Church is the fact that we have a pope. Now, the pope is an absolutely essential element of Christianity because Christ established it that way. Jesus established a hierarchy, but he also established it for not only for a visible sign of his mystical body, because a body has to have a head, and the head is what determines who you are. People know you by your face, by your facial features. And so we have a church that is not only the mystical body of Christ, but is the mystical visible body of Christ that the world can see. And we are proud of our Holy Father. We have always been proud of our Holy Fathers because they have manifested to us the truths of the gospel. In all of history, there has never been a pope among so many that has ever strayed from the truths of the gospel. This is something that really helps us. And I, as a priest, I relish the fact that we have 2,000 years of constant teaching tradition in the church. So many religions, having such a short lifespan, do not have tradition. During the Ecumenical Council, the Vatican Council II, as it's referred to, the words scripture and tradition were used so often together that they actually became one word in Latin. Because one cannot be without the other. They're like two sides of the same coin. Scripture and tradition. It is tradition and scripture that gives us the hierarchical structure of the church. The Holy Father began this title of pope. Began during the times of Christ when Jesus said, Peter, thou art rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. In other words, Christ did come to found a church, and he came to found a church with a structure, a hierarchical structure that would guide us, teach us, guarantee us the truth. And so he says, Peter, thou art rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As a priest, this frees me. It frees me to speak the truth. It frees me to be faithful to the gospel. In other words, to know what the gospel message is without any hesitation. And it also gives the faithful of the church the ability to know when one is not being faithful to that truth. For Christ said, I will send my Spirit who will guide you and protect you, keep you from error. It is this church, it is the tradition, it is the church founded by Christ Jesus upon that rock that continues to this day, 2,000 years of tradition. And I, as a priest, must be faithful to the Holy Spirit guiding the church during these 2,000 years. Catholics don't just have to swallow anything a priest says. He has to be faithful. And any Catholic who knows their faith, and all of us should know our faith, we are obligated to know what the church teaches, to know Scripture, to understand the Bible and its beauty and its truth. We need to study our faith so that we will always know truth from fiction. Now, our beloved Holy Father is essential. He's essential to the very essence of our faith. The center of our faith most certainly is the Eucharist. And the teaching church has as its core the sacred scripture. Now, that sacred scripture didn't exist for quite a long time after the death of Christ. So the Holy Father got the bishops together and they had a council. And they took all of the writings that were being spread around during those years after the death of Christ. And in that council, they decided which books would be considered the sacred writings, inspired scripture. And it was the authority of the Pope that declares that book the Bible. I've asked many, many people, why do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? They can't tell me. They say, well, it's got to be written in here. It's got to be someplace in the Bible. It isn't. Why do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Why is not the Bhagavad Gita or the Book of Mormon or the Book of the Quran? Why are not these the Word of God? And sacred scripture, the Bible is. Most people can't answer that question, but I can. The reason I believe that the Bible is the Word of God is because the Holy Roman Catholic Church says it is. We get the Bible from the Church. Scripture is the daughter of tradition. It was the tradition of the Church, lived by the people, professed by word of mouth, written in letters here and there that were compiled together and placed before the people of God as the inspired word of God. And the authority of the Church and the Pope declare it such. So if we reject the Holy Father as the vicar of Christ, as having the authority to bind and loose, which are really the words of Christ, mind you, how can we believe in a scripture if we reject the very means by which we get that scripture? The Holy Father is an essential aspect of our Christian faith, not just Catholic faith, but our Christian faith. For the Holy Father guarantees us that we are traveling along the path that Christ set out for us. For through his teaching, through his authority, through the infallibility of the Church in the people of God and the words of the Holy Father when spoken ex cathedra, we can know the truth. Not searching for it, not trying to understand it, not making truth, but we can conform ourselves to the truth. Because basically that's what Christianity is all about. It isn't making a truth for ourselves. It is conforming our lives, our being, our thoughts, our hopes to the objective reality as presented to us by Christ through his Church. The Holy Father is a witness of the Spirit of Christ living among us. Have you ever noticed the difference between the bishops and the Pope? You ever notice that the Holy Father carries a staff that goes straight up? Sometimes it had a cross on it. John Paul II had a crucifix. Pope Benedict XVI has a cross. But his staff goes straight up because his authority comes from God. Notice that cardinals and bishops have a staff that is crooked. In other words, it has a curvature. That curvature must always be pointed away from the bishop when he's carrying it. If you notice, the bishop never carries it facing himself. Why? Because his staff is dependent upon the authority of the Pope. It is his authority comes from the Holy Father. That is the hierarchical structure of the Church. That is what Christ Jesus established. The apostles looked to Peter even before the death of Christ, because he was the first of the apostles. We can trace the Holy Father's right back to Peter. There has never been a time in the history of the Church when we have not had a Holy Father. Oh, the Church has gone through some difficult times, but we have always come through them. The Church lives. The Church is stronger than ever. And every single day we see the Church growing in numbers and in faith and in strength and in love and in goodness. The holiness of the Church is manifest through its people and through its Church, the hierarchical Church. We just went through a World Youth Day. We go through it every couple years. What a magnificent expression of the loving power of the Redeemer, that this man, this one man, can draw hundreds of thousands of youth from every corner of the globe to do one thing and one thing alone, and that is to praise the Lord, to give their lives in service to the gospel. What better proof is there of the Spirit of Christ working among his people than when the youth of the world gather together to pray and glorify the Father led by the Pope? Doesn't matter who the Holy Father is. Doesn't matter if he's John Paul I, Paul VI, John Paul II, or Pope Benedict XVI. He is the vicar of Christ. He is the visible sign of God's compassion and love and goodness and strength. He is the sign of our fidelity to the gospel. He is the sign of the truth that the church must live and manifest and witness and proclaim until the end of time. And the church will survive because the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Guided by the Pope, guaranteed the spirit of truth, Christ will reign and does reign in, with, and through his church. Let's take a look at the difference between the Catholic Church and so many other Protestant denominations, or as our Holy Father calls them, different ecclesial communities. Most certainly, many, many people, when they left the Catholic Church, took so many beautiful parts of the church with them. But none of them, if you add all of the different Christian denominations together, you will still not equal the complete beauty of the Catholic Church. And one of the greatest and most beautiful elements of the Catholic Church is the 2,000 years of tradition. Now, I, as a priest, have to speak the tradition of the church. In other words, I have to be faithful to 2,000 years of revelation, the church being revealed the truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. When I get up and preach, I have to be faithful to that tradition. I have to be faithful to the truth as manifested down the ages. Other ministers do not have that obligation. When they get up, they have their word and their word alone. They look at Scripture and that's it. And they can interpret it in any way. I, on the other hand, cannot do that. I must be faithful to divine revelation. Because remember, revelation and God's word and his truth is manifested through the power of the Holy Spirit working in the people of God down through the ages. That fidelity is absolutely necessary, and that tradition is necessary as well. I cannot swerve from that tradition. In fact, the Catholic world, the Catholic Church, the Catholic faithful are guaranteed the truth. In fact, if I swerve from that truth, they have a means to know whether I am faithful to that gospel or not. And they have the right to inform me if I swerve from the gospel message and from the tradition of the church. No one else has that ability. Because as a church progresses, a Protestant church or a denomination, as they progress, their theology and their teachings sometimes evolve. In fact, most times evolve. There are religions that gather together and decide what's moral this year and what should be held as doctrine this year. Doctrine can't be changed. Either truth is truth or it isn't. It cannot evolve into something different than what it is in itself. Truth is an objective reality, not a subjective reality. Truth isn't something that is for me, it is, and for you, it isn't. It's truth, and it stands on its own, and it's our job as priests, as bishops, as faithful of the church to conform our faith, our lives, our living to that truth. Truth stands on its own. It isn't determined by what I'm feeling today or by how many people decide this they want to do or that they want to do. Even if the whole world should say one thing and Christ teaches another, we must reject what the world teaches and must live the gospel message. And we are guaranteed to know the truth in order to live it by the church, by the tradition of the church, by 2,000 years of the Holy Spirit working within the church. There is an infallibility even in the faithful of God by holding the truth and teaching it throughout the centuries. It guarantees that truth, that divine revelation as given to us through sacred scripture. We as Catholics are very fortunate. We don't look down on our separated brethren, on other ecclesial communities, because most certainly there are bits and pieces of the truth that we find all around us. There are beautiful things that people hold and love about God and sparks of divine revelation that we find in so many places, some place where you least expect it. But for the fullness of faith, to know the fullness of truth, to know the loving, merciful God in his infinite goodness, in its completeness, we must not only look to Scripture, but we must understand and look to tradition. For Scripture and tradition are two sides of the same coin. One cannot exist without the other. And we as Catholics have been given that great gift of certitude in our faith. Our faith is not evolving, but the living of it is. The practicing of it is. The fact that the world must be set on fire with the truth, that is what is becoming. And to gain and achieve that end, we must be faithful to what the Holy Spirit has manifested throughout the ages. And may God bless all those who truly seek and yearn for that truth. For if they desire it, they will find it. For God offers it to all. Let us make our faith available to every single person we meet, not only by living it, but by professing it, by being proud of it, by defending it, by understanding and knowing it. And the way to do that is to live it, study it, grow in it. Let's look at the church and its history. Let's look at the teachings of the Holy Fathers throughout the ages. Let us see how the people of God have expressed this faith. And let us continue expressing it with courage, with love, with certitude, with fortitude. Amen.